Okay, end of war. Man, we could go, I mean, while doing this, with this storytelling. So I'm just trying now something here, and please, so help me God. That, here we have this lady, this young lady, the fair lady, and well, we could base her on Nicole Kidman, the character design, because that's what I thought from the beginning. So let's think of her that way. And, well, we are now. That's the idea of this story, meaning as this is being spoken, July 2025, and what has led up to now. So that could be kind of the format of this, that we are now, but from the now, we are telling stories. Different people are telling stories of what it was that led up to now. That sounds like a good format. So then we would have, for instance, switching from our lady there in the tower. To a completely different part of the world. So, well, one thing that could be cool there is, would be that our PO is sitting there at a cafe from his childhood, Gunnars Konditori, with an old classmate, and they're showing photographs from, you know, when we were in the same class in school together, and they're talking memories just a little while. We can switch over to that. And then how they are talking about the world. Hey, this is interesting. He comes from the big city and he's been all over the world and, you know, he wouldn't call himself a globetrotter or whatever, but he's been around and he's seen things. He's not thinking much like a Swede anymore because, you know, having lived almost in Beijing for 1 year and in San Francisco and being there in New York and working in those places, traveling between them and Calcutta and Mumbai and Delhi, I'm talking me here, the real story, so we can just put that story there. Because he's PO, this guy. And she, well, we just make her up for now. Or he, whatever. Otherwise, we may think that we make fun of women because this character should be really a small town character. So they can have arguments on that cafe. And how does it work? We have this lady there who just became the owner of that huge corporate tower, and who is now sitting there with her friends. Hey, that's interesting. She comes home and she sits there in front of her computer. And they have some kind of hacker club-ish thing there, but it's not a hacker club, it's something like, you know, they're hackers and then they're biohackers, but these are not mind hackers, but spiritual hackers or something like that. Something new, they call themselves the awares. And nobody really knows who is the originator of that, the awares group. And then wham, we switch. And a little box up there, right there, far away, but far away from there. And then you have this couple, these two guys, yeah, let's make it two guys, sitting there at a cafe in that little town. So this way we can land in that town. This is very good. We land in the town, little Bogesund. We can establish that. I can finish building that town. And they are talking. And he is telling his life story to that guy. Then it could be a woman. Maybe it's a couple there, guy and the woman. Guy is one of those small town. Yeah, that's a good one. Three, otherwise it's just conflict. Three is dynamic. Because then she is like sitting there with this one or that one. And of course, I mean, we can really get into all kinds of things there with her being attracted to him instead of this other guy who's her husband. But we don't want that. I don't think so. But, you know, you can play all kinds of little sidekick stories, side stories here. If you want, that's the nice thing with stories. But we stay here and just, you know, as we had it in the 60s, when the hero meets one influential woman, they sometimes play that out, that, yeah, she's attracted to him, finds him very attractive, you know, he's a very good looking and interesting and intelligent man. And she's saying that to her husband in public cocktail party or something like that. So I would say in cultures that are more mature, then there is this open and natural appreciation between people, even men and women, but in a polite and cultured way. Not that you want to steal away that woman from that man and run up to some bedroom with her. This is the barbarian way, and that's the problem, that culture has eroded and people have become very rough and sometimes violent and behaving bad towards each other and causing social eruptions as well. So we can get that message in there. So anyway, he starts telling that story about how he came in contact with that Krishna movement. And this is, well, I think this is good, because I just spoke in a previous recording here about we just did. And about how to, from the very beginning here, put little synopses to the different stories that will then become entire seasons or movies or whatever in themselves, and then be at the center of this whole story, which means that since they are known to those who were there from the beginning, they are then connected to that end of war story as well. So in this way we can build the story, the big one, which consists of how many, maybe four or five seasons or something like that, where it could just go on and on. Actually, so if we build it in such a way that every story, I mean, I'm speaking here about the speaker here, just from his humble life, I mean, which I realize is quite, I mean, filled with experiences that can be used to make stories. I mean, we can just tell the story of Pio's Chinese wife's grandfather, who was a real Chinese communist back in the Long March. He was partaking in that. And I mean, there are all these, and this Prabhupada story, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada story, and the Bhaktivinod story, there's no limit, and the Chaitanya story. There's no limit to the stories that can be told here. And the Mahabharata, which we could then anchor everything in, let it be like a red thread throughout there, especially through the end of war, where our Pio, it could be, or whoever would say that, or write something like that. Yeah, it will fly around in social media or whatever. That the great Mahabharata war in Vedic India was it inevitable, and are we about to do it again, brother against brother? cussing against cussing. Another family feud. Another feud in the human family, something like that. So anyway, he then tells them, they think he was just a member of a crazy cult. And then he says, well, in hindsight, we sometimes behave that way, but there's more to it. And then he tells that story, and he tells the positive side, and then the guy says, well, you know, now you're just saying the positive things. What about the cult? You admitted it yourself. And then he will tell that story, the real story that we should learn from. And he looks into the, out from the page or whatever, to the reader, saying that I'm telling this to you, you know who you are, because some things, pieces of history, we just need to learn from so we don't do it wrong again, isn't it? And the girl, and that lady nods there. Or it could be just the two of them, old lady schoolmate and so on, but we can play with that, with her kid or something. I don't know. We can have several of those little fika. So then he tells that story about the guru and the leaders, and the gurus and the masters and the prabhus, and the servant, and the work, and the living conditions, and the children. And then he says, I don't know why I'm telling you this story. This part of it is sad. And then the woman sits there and she has tears in her eyes and says, tell me this is not a true story. And he says, well, it is. There's much more to it. But how can this happen? And this guy said, oh, that's what I always said. Nothing has caused more problems in the world than religion. And he said, Pio says, but yeah, I mean, you're right, religion, but I didn't join a religion. That's the thing. I never liked religion. So it's very funny how you can then get drawn into this, because I didn't get drawn by persuasive people. but just by a social, we could say groupthink. And they talk about groupthink. And in this way, we are basically, I'm thinking comics now, I mean, how many pages into it are we now? I'm thinking A4 pages, I can't think of anything else. Maybe 20 pages or something. We need to give it some time. Or maybe more. 30 pages. Or 40 pages. Because we need to switch a little bit back and forth there, right? Otherwise it gets too difficult to follow. And then we are back after some first introductory, when he's just about to start talking. And when they talk there, he could say, you know, well, you know, I'm kind of, today, they say, are you still a member of that? We are there now in Gunnar's Café. and he said, nothing. Well, I'm still me, and still, of course, know all those people who I learned to know when we were there, but most of us are not actively involved inside there, so to speak, but we live this yoga and practice it, meditate and all of that. And, you know, some of us are friends. That's the way it should be. I talk a little like that. And then he says, otherwise I'm more active in just a network for bringing about a general higher awareness in the world of how to live win-win and good for nature and for each other and all of that. So he's, and then whoops, you switch over to, I tend to think of it as New York City, but it could be, you know, Metropolis, something like from Superman or something like that. Maybe that would be a good thing, way to do it. Or this, what we call Batman City, Gotham City. Look at the old episodes of that, those comics. You can steal a little from there. A little New Yorkish, I like because there's something with New York that used to be that is so international, but now I think that is moving to other countries, probably Shanghai. Or somewhere in India. That's interesting in itself. So we are there in this kind of dynamic, changing, very dramatic situation in the world. That's where this story starts. And then, of course, we have our lady there, who became in charge of that corporation. And we don't make that too science fiction-ish. That's the thing. would put it into us as if, because on the surface, nobody need to even notice that this corporation was not taken over by this lady. It was just built like that. And could be any skyscraper there in the city with a corporate skyscraper that, you know, what kind of structure they have inside and how the boss up there on top resides and controls it. Well, it's up to them, right? But of course there's the board and there's all that. But he set it up in such a way that he owns the majority. He's completely secured against hostile takeovers and all of that. Of course they still try. So which means that we can put it into basically just contemporary New York or something like that, but in the style of drawing that you find in these old Superman and Batman comics. That could be fun, so I could explore that possibility. Yeah. So anyway, so then we're switching back there, and then this guy still sits there with his computer or whatever. And we understand that they are members of this, they are wares. Cool team there, and they go on, and she's trying to figure out, oh, I just got this, and well, maybe she doesn't tell anyone at all. She logs in, and then she's in control of that entire building. She can turn on and off the light. She can change the images projected by this fantastic LED on the facade of the building. She just does something crazy. And then her friends, because they can see that building from where they are, from their window, then she does something a little wacky, and then her friend happens to stand looking out the window and goes like, what? What happened? Did you see that? And then, you know, either at that time or some other time, because now she's like, whoops, shall I tell them? But then she decides to not tell anyone in the world. So in this way, she now has a double identity, right? So this is where the fun thing starts. Maybe then at one point, even either that time or next, could be now, I mean, she flashes. Well, we could take that at a later time to just reconnect to the same situation. Because this is so fun, so you had to revisit that. So next time, she's sitting there playing, just exploring that site there, you know, that super-duper login and control of the entire huge corporate building over there, including the finances and everything. You can take manual override on anything, but if you don't, then everything is just perfectly ticking on, making profits, and that unknown leader, actually, because the guy is so introvert and discreet, some super duper he could actually be Asian, super duper genius in computers or something. that started that company that is so fantastic, you know, Facebook times 10 or Google times 10 or something like that. And they're of course much bigger than that building, but that's their high quarter. It's like Trump Tower times 100 or something. So yeah, that's a good one. So some of the times she sits there now and she's playing a little with her friends, so they sit there looking at it. And all of a sudden it says Awares, their logo is all over the building, and they're sitting eating there, and she points, what was that? And then just for a split second, and then, whoops, something else is there, Mickey Mouse or whatever. And they stop eating and they go, what? And she says, oh, I mean, did I see right? That tower just got hacked by the Awares. I didn't know there were such hackers. And now that's a big mystery. Who did it? And it can go on like that. And she started doing these things. And then she gets drawn into, of course, this corporate world, which she has complete insight into and so on. And that's where the story goes. So, and then of course she meets Rick, who's now old, and who is there where the corporate and you could say political, military, I mean the military industrial complex, you could say. He's working in the middle of that. And then they learn to know each other because he's also, you know, a super genius like that. Or, I mean, we could even do it so that the Awares, it's not that they are now officially the Awares, but that she kind of gradually finds them. I don't know, we can do all kinds of things there, but this, I think, is a good one, right? Yep.